What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Creative Rust Podcast. Today is episode 171 with Lori Harv, great friend of ours. This is an episode we've been excited about this episode for a while because we have been very involved in what Lori has been building over the last year. And there's just been so many things as we've been watching her really take on this crazy role of being a founder of this new startup. We were like, man, so many things we can learn from how Lori's dealing with this, the way she made a decision about that, the way she pivoted on this. So excited for you to hear all about that. But before we do, we need to update you on wins from the Creative Rust Mastermind. Week 4 has just ended, and it has been a wild week. Every single week, we've been updating you guys on some of the cash wins. There are wins in so many different areas, but we've been updating you on some of the financial wins from the 31 businesses going through the 6-week Creative Rust Mastermind right now. Week 4 just wrapped up. Rip off a few wins.
Okay. Crazy. Sarah made $34,000 in brand deals this last week.
Crazy.
And then John landed 2 new weddings for a total of $14,250. Ashley onboarded a new social media client for $1,800 a month. Mm-hmm. Aiden landed $9,500 in video and photo jobs just this last week. Dagan landed 2 brand shoots totaling $7,950 this week. And last but definitely not least, we love a quitter at Creative Rise. Dale officially went full-time as a web designer, content creator. We are so pumped for Dale. So shout out to Dale. We love a good quitting story here at Creative Rise, especially in the Mastermind. So you guys, these are some of the updates from the Creative Rise Mastermind. And we are so excited about this next week to walk through them, see what the weeks hold. Mm. This week's wins hold. We will update you again next week on what those wins are. But again, this episode is such an honor to be able to talk with Lori Harder. I've been listening to her podcast for forever. Again, Joey and I know her personally. We've worked with her and her husband personally. It's been so fun to be able to interview her on this episode. She is incredible, you guys. She's like a serial entrepreneur. She has done so many different things in business. It's really inspiring. She became a millionaire at 32. She's had how many different companies? I'm not even sure how many different companies.
She's done a lot of stuff.
Many. She's a professional speaker. She has a podcast. She is
massive podcast.
One of the biggest podcasts, in my opinion, in her space. And it is absolutely incredible to have her on this episode. You're going to learn a ton from Lori. So tune in right now.
Oh, real quick, even before we jump in, I was going to say a little bit of backstory, too. So I met her husband, when I was 19, I think. And they actually inspired a lot of what Creative Rise is today. I remember having a conversation with Chris, her husband, at an event with both Lori and Chris. And he said, dude, you should really consider actually helping more people with this. At the time, I was helping creatives through the DMs, just like going back and forth with me, like, hey, you know, like, they got a question about sales. Hey, let me talk to you about sales. Here's what I'm doing. Maybe this can help you. Chris really actually, and Lori, inspired the Creative Rush platform to become what it is. So huge shout out to the Harders for that.
Yeah.
It's been so cool.
Amazing.
This is a full circle moment, you know, even just having Lori on the podcast, because they were part of the reason why we started this whole thing in the meantime. But we started working with Lori on her new company, Glossy, back in June of last year.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was. She brought us on to do photo and video stuff, as you guys know, we do a lot of. And at the same time, a lot of you guys have also heard that we've been doing a lot of brand strategy. So she brought us in to be the basically like interim, or you could call it fractional, brand manager to help Glossy get off the ground and go to market. Glossy is, which I have in front of me right here, it's a beauty hydration product. And we were tasked with the task of taking this thing to market, building the brand, helping come up with everything for socials, the web, photo, video, the whole shebang. And it was so fun, such an honor. We got so, as I said at the beginning of this, we got really, really close to the action of how she was making decisions on things as a founder and what she was doing. And it was incredibly inspiring. Yeah. It's been a wild ride, a wild success for her in launching this new brand. So here's a little bit more about the story of Glossy and what she has learned, and in turn, how that can help you grow your creative business at the same time. So here is our interview with Lori Harder.
Welcome to the Creative Rise Podcast, where we believe you deserve to break the creative struggle, and it should be simple.
We are so grateful you're here with us today. Let's dive in.
Mrs. Lori Harder, welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast.
God, I'm so excited to be here.
You got your Glossy bottle in front of you. We got our Glossy bottle right here. So we are going to jump on into some rapid fire before we get into everything you and everything, the story of the last couple years of your life. But so excited to have you on. Thanks for doing this. We have gotten to work with you very closely over the last year, and it has been an honor, one, to do that, and two, to get to see the inner workings of Lori. And so this is exciting show for us to record, because I think your story, and you know this, and we know this, is going to be so helpful for people. So let's jump on into rapid fire.
I'm so excited to be here. And you guys, I tell you this all the time, Lauren and I, who's my amazing right hand, but we're obsessed with you guys. And it was truly like the most fun experience of our working careers. So
literally so the most fun. I think we probably laughed more than we worked on certain shoots that we did with you.
Absolutely. Which is how it should be.
Absolutely.
It should be.
So here's our rapid fire questions for you, Lori. Where are you from? This is a complicated question.
I'm from Marquette, Michigan, which is a small town in Upper Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And where do you live now?
I live in Newport Beach, California.
Hey.
Just a little bit different. Michigan, California, Newport Beach.
Just a little different.
Yeah, the Newport Peninsula versus the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They're a little bit different.
I didn't even know places like this existed, and I'm glad I didn't, or I would have been so mad at my parents. So.
Totally. Okay,
what is your business? If you're in an elevator with somebody, someone says, what do you do? What do you tell them?
I have a beauty and wellness brand called Glossy. It is a skin routine you can drink, and it's all about giving your daily routines a glow up.
I love it. What else do you? What else keeps you busy? Because you got a few other things going on.
Okay. I am a podcast host, and I have podcasted for, I think, almost 8 years, you guys, 3 episodes a week. Like, let's just talk about learning how to be consistent. That taught me some good lessons. I have written a book, and we also do entrepreneurial events.
Amazing.
Which I love. Summer with my husband, summer alone.
Yeah, you and your husband, which is amazing. Amazing dude. And how long have you been in business? You said 8 years you've been podcasting before, but how long have you been self-employed? How long have you been an entrepreneur for?
Let's see. I think I started my gym when I was 27 and I'm 43. So you do the math.
Joey, you do the math. I'm not a math person.
That is the 20s.
Enough time to know what you're doing. That's
yeah, enough
sure.
time to know what you're doing. Yeah.
Okay, favorite question, signature question of rapid fire. What's a flop you've had in your business? This is just to humanize Lori Harden to everybody who's like, oh my gosh, she's the it girl. I look up to her. What's a flop you've had in your business that you wouldn't mind sharing with us? An embarrassing moment, what have you?
Man, there's so many fun ones to pick from. I'll just share a couple really quick. One time, Chris and I were putting out a course together. And, you know, we had done courses alone, but we decided to do this course together. And the course was called Aligned. It was all about, like, finding, like, your flow in life. And we're just in such a good spot, you guys, that we can teach you how to be aligned like us, too. And so Chris and I, like, when we would work together, we work really well, and then we also don't. So we would, like, the takes were, it just wasn't working. We were doing this course because I was supposed to speak on a stage and have an offer. And we were supposed to, like, have this offer together. So we threw this course together and we were fighting, like, nonstop. And what happened is we ended up, like, we were recording the whole time. So it was recording our fights. And, like, we have this fight and Chris is, like, not nailing his lines and he's swearing. He's throwing an absolute fit. And so we get through the course. It's great. We launch it. And on launch day, somebody writes us, like, they're immediately in the course. And thank God it was someone we knew. They write us. They're like, so Chris is throwing a temper tantrum on module 2. And you guys are, like, fighting and it's recorded. And, like, we sold a lot of courses for this particular course.
That was, like, a signature course for years, right? Oh, my goodness.
So thankfully what happened is we were able to edit it out, but people absolutely saw it. So we were, like, fighting and dropping the F-bombs on this Aligned course.
On this Aligned course.
One of my biggest fears of when we do content like that, I'm like, are we sure? Oh, that is such a good one.
That is so good. All right. So, Lori, millionaire by 32, terrified of speaking as a child, and now you're a professional speaker. You've spoken on some of the world's biggest business stages, fitness cover model, you know, the list goes on. You've built multiple companies, massive podcasts, and now you are into building and running this beautiful new beauty hydration company called Glossy.
Which is so inspiring. I feel like we have to highlight all those things. It's so inspiring. And my question is, talk to us a little bit about the journey of getting there. Like, even just like take us way back. Like, what were you just like born into a bunch of entrepreneurial family where you knew you were all going to be super successful? Was this like a, I had the confidence from day one to like go after it? Like, give people just a quick little glimpse on your backstory of getting to this spot.
Oh, man. Okay. So this is so important to hear because I wish I would have heard from someone like me when I was young. You know, back in like 80s and 90s, it was all like glossy and perfection. And I remember reading fitness magazines because I wanted to get into fitness. And it was like, I eat broccoli today and chicken and I only did this and that. And I don't drink and I don't do that. And I'm like, I'm a failure. I'm a loser. I'll never do this. So I am, like I said, I'm from a small town in Upper Michigan. I'm was raised in a more restrictive religion. So that meant I couldn't hang out with anyone outside of that religion. So take that small town, take a 100-person congregation. And that was my life until I was like 18 years old. I didn't see a whole lot in that circle. I didn't see entrepreneurs. I didn't see women doing things. I didn't even see women on my podium whatsoever because we weren't allowed to be. So when I was 18 and I left that religion, I wish I could tell you that things just opened up for me, but I just went crazy for a while. Like I did all the things that you do when you've been held, you know, when you've been in a restrictive religion. So I drank, I did drugs, I did all the things. And, I ended up, because I struggled with my weight as a young kid, I did find working out earlier on. But even though I found working out, I never really understood the nutrition piece. But the working out part is kind of what cracked me open as a teenager. It was one of the only times I experienced those moments when you're, I don't know if anyone here listening has ever like experienced a runner's high or when you're on a walk and you get those like gut hits of like, wait, I think I'm made for more. And so I would start getting these feelings all the time. And that was kind of what opened me up to maybe, I think there's more for me. I feel this in my life. So when I ended up leaving and then went through, you know, what I went through for about the 3 years, I found my way back to fitness. And so I ended up wanting to be a personal trainer. And at the time, you guys, what I left out is that I also did not graduate high school. I was homeschooled through high school, but I never actually graduated high school either. So I didn't think that I was going to be able to do anything because I was like, everything requires a high school diploma. And I found a loophole called personal training. And I'm not even kidding you. Even though I liked it, it was why I got into personal training is it didn't require a diploma. So I'm like, I'm going all in on this. And so started being a personal trainer, working at an LA Fitness. I made $6 per 30-minute session. And it wasn't until the, you know, I had gotten married. My husband was the main breadwinner because obviously $6 per 30-minute session isn't really doing anything for me. And in the recession, my husband ended up losing his job in 2008 because he was in the mortgage and finance industry. So what that made me do, because we lost everything, we lost our homes, we lost our cars, we were $300,000 in debt. And that was my moment of, I have to step up. Like, I was at rock bottom and it made me face all of my fears, which at the time I was a very anxious person. I had panic attacks. I was like, okay, I'll train these people, but this is all that this career is kind of like this. I thought I was at the top of what I was going to be capable of doing. And that really forced me into having to figure out a way to step up and help my husband because I had just watched him go through something really horrible and lose his identity. And I was like, this will never happen to us ever again. And so I decided to start telling people about my dream of wanting to be on fitness magazines and own my own gym. And this is a really important piece of the puzzle is because even though that was scary for me to like proclaim my dream to people because I was like this fitness trainer or didn't, you know, graduate from high school, I started telling it to people. And one of the clients that I told it to was a woman who was a couple years older than me. And she was opening her own chiropractic studio. So it was kind of unheard of for a 27-year-old woman to be opening her own chiropractic office in the Midwest. I didn't know anyone who was doing anything like that. And so she said to me, hey, you've been telling me about this dream of wanting your own gym. My chiropractic office has a lower level to it. It's totally unfinished, but you can have it if you want it. You can train me for free. And then you can pay me rent like when you get on your feet and you get some clients. I said, great. Like in the next couple of weeks, I was in that unfinished basement with the, insulation and the wires hanging down and like having people come down and totally lying to them saying that we're under construction. I had zero money and zero intention of ever finishing this basement. I was like, mama needs cash. We're so in debt. We just got to like pay for our house or pay for housing. And so that's really what started it all, was like starting to proclaim my dream to people. And because my back was up against the wall, and you know, rock bottom is truly one of the most powerful places that you can ever be, because it forces you into getting really creative and being like, what are my options? What are my options? And so if you're in that place right now, don't ask yourself like, how did I get here? It's like, how could this be happening for me? Like, what is something that could be happening right now that could be forcing me to look at a creative way of making money? Like, who do I know? How could I use this to like face my fears? Like, this is forcing me into something.
Yeah, that's so good. That's okay, incredible. So big fast forward to where you are now. That's a little early story. Where you are now is, you, as we said earlier on the show, you just launched Glossy in the past year. It's been phenomenal. You sold out your first batch. The brand is incredible. You've gotten phenomenal feedback on it. That, however, has been, and I'm going to put words in your mouth, but a roller coaster in some ways. And you, as a founder, have had to navigate some turns, some twists. And I think what I want to get out of you right now, for our audience and for us to continue to learn this, we've been so close to the story, but every time we rehear stuff, we learn from it.
Yeah.
I want to hear from you. When is it time to lay down and say, I'm done? Or go, oh no, my back is against the wall and I need to run forward. Like, when is it time to give up on something versus double down on it? Because this story of building your new company, Glossy, has had a lot of twists and turns. So quickly talk about the story real short, and then talk about, for anyone who feels like what they thought was going to happen maybe hasn't happened yet,
should they push or do they down?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I have a pretty easy answer for this, but I'll tell you, in 2020, I raised $2 million from 54 female investors. I'd never raised money before. I got help to raise that money. I'd asked someone who had fundraised that I knew, how in the heck do you do this? He said, you don't. I said, I'm terrible with numbers. He said, you don't have to know numbers. Like, you'll have help along the way, and they're going to teach you how to do this step by step. Great. I can do something step by step. So end up raising the money. It takes me about a year and a half to raise that money. And it's during a pandemic, you guys. People were holding on to their cash. And it was all women. And a lot of these people, like, I only wanted women because I wanted to take them along this journey. So it started as something called Light Pink. It was going to be a non-alcoholic rosé and then a light wine spritzer rosé. And I was really passionate about this product because I had previously written a book about connecting women and diving into like breaking through surface level relationships. And although the book did well, it didn't hit the mainstream women that I wanted it to. And I was like, where are these mainstream women connecting? Okay, they're having cocktails. And so I wanted to do a lighter version of wine, because it's like, we don't want to feel like crap when we're done like connecting and hanging out and going to these networking events. But I put three questions on the back of the can that were proven from my event, having it for 8 years, that I knew by asking these three questions, they would get an answer that they needed to go to the next level, get their next steps, whatever that was. And so this was the story. And what ended up happening during the pandemic is, you know, minimum order quantities went up. So small companies like mine, who were starting with smaller runs of a product because we don't have a ton of cash, it went from, let's just use this as an example, okay, you can order, you know, 5,000 lids to start, to it literally went to 1 million lids. So nobody was, this was just one tiny example of what was happening. Not to mention the ingredient costs went up. There was a candemic during this where you couldn't get aluminum for a while. The warehouses had shut down. The co-packers had shut down. I'm paying teams that all of a sudden I can't pay anymore because I'm like, I can't pay you. There's like, I'm going to run out of money. So in the middle of that, what happened is, you know, I actually went longer than I think I should have went because I learned this lesson. So for anybody who's like, how do you know when you should pivot? Well, I think you need to get somebody business savvy into your business earlier. So even if to ask them, hey, let me show you this. Let me show you my numbers. Let me tell you what's happening. Let me tell you the mistakes that I've made. Let me tell you where I spent the money. Let me show you what I want to be doing. Do I have a viable business? Like, do I have a viable business? What is this going to look like? And so I ended up asking that question a little bit later than I feel now looking back than I should have, because what happens is you can get like a little bit like embarrassed, or you can be like, oh, I'm just hitting these hard things. I just need to keep going. I just need to keep doing this. Or, oh God, I'm so embarrassed to tell people that I paid these people to do this and they didn't follow through with the job and or whatever that looked like. You know, I should have seen this happening. And so vulnerability, like getting vulnerable with where you're really at, is the only way to grow really quickly. And so the more vulnerable you can get with people who have been there before, the more you're going to save cash, the more you're going to be able to pivot faster, the more you're going to be able to grow. So as much as we don't want to do that, because that's what we do, right? We don't tell people, oh, we don't want to tell people that launch failed. We don't want to tell people we spent a shit ton on those ads and the ads failed. But the faster we can get people who are doing well, or, you know, you can have people look at it, get involved, the faster you're going to grow.
Mm. I love that. And I think you represent that so well, of like the fast pivot, as you said. Like, okay, let me get super vulnerable, let everyone see, and then let's pivot. And so you pivoted into Glossy, which, as we've come to know you and as we've come to know the product, as we've come to know the company, seems like it's so aligned with you, which is really, really cool. And you've launched Glossy, which is, again, a skin routine you can drink. It tastes amazing. We have ours in our kitchen right now. And it's so, so cool. So going through, and you obviously didn't give up, right? You didn't like, okay, I'm just going to like quit this and go back to $6 an hour personal training, right? Yeah. You didn't give up. You just pivoted and started shifting towards something new, which is really, really cool. And I want to talk about like, what do you need personally to get through something like that in business? Whether it's a low season of your business and you're not pivoting, or you need to fully pivot, like what has been helpful for you in this last season, just personally, of like, how do you get through those times? Because I know there's a lot of people listening that are like, oh, I feel like I'm in a dry season of my business, or clients aren't coming through the door, or XYZ, they feel discouraged. What's the best ways personally, we can talk about business in a second, but personally, you feel like you're able to grow through that and really push forward? What's some advice you've gotten or things that you've kind of gleaned from the last season?
Oh, I am just a totally different person on the other side of all of this. So I think the first thing that I want people to grasp, there's a couple of things that you have to change some of your core beliefs around just like who you are and what you believe about your life and where you want to go. So I think the biggest thing for me that made me perceive the journey as like the actual reason, like the thing that I'm in love with, that takes a little bit, but I know you guys can get there. So one of the things that I was able to do earlier on is I've always been able to pull future pain forward, meaning if I don't do the thing that I want to do, if I don't do this dream, where will I be in 5 years? And not just where will I be, what will my relationships look like? How will I be sabotaging them or transferring this pain and irritation and like resentment? How will I be transferring that to maybe my husband? How will I be doing that to my friends? Because they're moving forward and I'm not the woman that I want to be. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to hang out with them anymore. I'm going to make them bad because that's what we do to protect ourselves. I'm going to make my husband bad and I'm going to like protect myself and be like, well, I don't want to do that because here's why. Well, you guys just hustle so much and that's not what I think is good. Where ultimately what's happening is what I say to myself often is, Lori, okay, let's say you go through this and it's okay. Let's let ourselves off the hook. Whoever is listening and is in a hard time right now. Okay, great. Stop that podcast. Yeah, it's hard. It is hard showing up once a week or three times a week. It sucks. So let yourself off the hook. That's totally fine. Okay, stop that company. Totally good. Don't even worry about it. Like, go back, go to that job, go to that 9 to 5, go do that other thing. Where are you going to be? Let's just say we're back in that routine. Okay, great. We're a week in. We're 2 months in. We're a year in. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get an idea. It's going to be the same damn idea that you're in. It's going to be a podcast. It's going to be a book. It's going to be the same business. And you're going to be in the same thing with the same problems. And you're going to either have the same attitude the next time, or you can decide that you get to choose what problems you're solving. You get to be excited about it. You get to decide when you wake up. You get to decide what is a win and what is a failure. You get to decide who you work with. And so for me, I'm like, this is who I am. When we can all decide as creators and innovators and entrepreneurs, when you can just say, this is who I am. This is what I choose. These are the problems that I get to solve. Because without problems, you guys, I hate to break it to you, you actually don't have a business. So you should wake up and solve problems every single day. It's just that we get to choose what they are. We get to have this beautiful modality that I get to wake up to. And even though, yes, I'm like, oh gosh, I want to be making sales, I also get to express myself creatively. I also get to solve a problem. I also get to have something to market. Like, it's not like, what idea do I market? I don't know. I get to have something to go and innovate, like, and like market to different people. So you have to remember that you love, we as humans need the challenge and we love the challenge. Don't forget to tell yourself, like, the challenge is what gives you the opportunity to meet that next version of yourself that you're dying to meet. Like, without it, you don't get to become that person.
Yeah, that's good. That's amazing.
So I want to, again, total left turn here. I think this is important because a lot of the people listening to the show that know about you are going to be going, what does it look like to actually get in front of Lori and potentially help Lori? Like, what is the things that someone like Lori is looking for when it comes to a creative partner? And again, everyone listening to the show here is a creative wanting to work with people like you, Lori. So I want to ask you, when working with creative partners, whether it's with people like Christy and I, as we got to help you with many different things, photo, video, brand building, all of that stuff, or it's somebody completely different, photographer in this area, filmmaker in this area, following you to an event for speaking, what do you look for in your creative partners? And what advice can you give to somebody who is a creative wanting to work with women like you or people of your stature in the personal brand space or even in the, you know, product space now? What are you looking for in a creative, and what are some green flags and then what are some red flags?
I think especially in the creative department, you can't tell me, you got to show me. We're so busy. Like, I am so overwhelmed, and we all speak different languages in our different fields. And so, you know, I'm going to have a creative come to me and tell me what they could do, like, video wise and this. I don't know what you mean. And I don't actually know what that's going to look like for my brand. And so I'll give a quick example too. Like, I've had a stylist who's wanted to work with me forever, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't think you get my, like, you know, style or whatever. And finally she's like, okay, what if, I know you have the shoot coming up, what if I just, like, package all these things, show you exactly what to wear, come on set with you, I don't charge you at all, we decide how this relationship looks. I'm like, great, that I'm willing to take a risk on. And so it was like, in person, did the thing. Now I'm like, wonderful, I get what you do, I understand it, and I also understand how freaking valuable this is. I would say to creatives, like, this may not be what you want to hear, but I think you have to do some work for free. I think you have to show what you do. And like, I'm not in the market for anyone who's not willing to be like, here's what I did, or here's what I can do for the brand, here's what it could look like, here's, let me actually show you this. Because we don't get it. So I think taking time to really put some time into brands that you love and continue showing up on their radar, like even UGC right now, like, some girls are just showing up for me and being like, here's, I created 3 videos for you, here's what this could look like. I'm like, oh, now I think that I understand why you're charging this and what this could look like. So you have to show the value and give value for free. I've done it for years, you guys. I've done it for years in my business, like, giving things away for free. You know, half of when I first ran an event, 100 of my tickets were free for people, because how could they know to trust me to spend the money on the ticket if I didn't give them that experience first? So I've done so much for free, and I think that's what you have to do, is show them.
That's awesome. And that's such a good question to end on, because I feel like that is, like, such tangible advice that a creative can go and use today. Like, whatever brand you're wanting to work with, that person you want to work with, how can you show up, give them something of value for free, or just like, hey, let me actually show you what this is going to look like. Like, let's not hop on a call in 2 weeks and try to get done. Let me do the legwork before so that it's easy for them to understand. I really, really love that. Well, Lori, there's so many tidbits here that are so, so good. Where can people find you if they want to hear more from you, which I know they will?
I mean, we have Earn Your Happy, which is a podcast, but also, I mean, my main thing, and you guys know, it is just go to getglossy.com.
Awesome. I love it.
And you should potentially go get some glossy because yes, it is phenomenal. And we're super proud of you, Lori, for the way you've built this company. And not just what you've built, but the actual way you've done it. It has been inspiring to watch. Lord. So honored to be a part of helping you, you know, get it off the ground with the brand in the beginning. And thanks for being on the show today. Yes. This has been awesome. Thank you, Lori.
Could not be here without you guys, so I'm so grateful.
Awesome.
Thanks, Lori.
Okay, thanks for being on the show. Well, what a great episode with Lori. You guys, Lori is seriously someone that when you work with somebody and you go, oh my gosh, I learned not just about more how to do my job better, but I'm learning about how to just be a better entrepreneur, how to be a better person, how to be all of these things. Mm. Lori just exemplifies so much of that. She was seriously one of our favorite partners we've ever worked with in the brand space, in the content space.
100%.
She's so
great
cool.
Great friend. So, super cool.
If you want to go and follow Lori, go to @LoriHarder on Instagram. Again, we'll put all of this in the show notes, but Lori Harder on Instagram, getglossy.com to try her new product. And then it's Earn Your Happy is her podcast. And you can listen to that wherever podcasts are.
It's a great show. It's a great show for really women. Good. It's also a great show for dudes. I have been listening to that show for many, many years. So add it to your podcast rotation. It's a great show. Lori, shout out to you. Thanks again for being on the show today. And guys, make sure you share this episode. If this resonated with you, if hearing about the real struggles and the temptations to potentially slow things down or quit from someone who's accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
If that made you feel like, wow, like I feel like I can actually do this. Or it was cool to hear somebody of that stature and entrepreneurship be vulnerable. Like share this with a friend, share it on your story. One of the best ways to thank Lori for being on the show is just by tagging her in your Instagram story, screenshot this podcast, throw it up there, shoot her a DM, whatever that's going to be. But share this episode with somebody else who can also get value from hearing the story of building something and having to pivot and transition when things are shifting. So cannot wait to see you back here next week. We're going to have an awesome episode for you next week on the Creative Rise Podcast. So glad you were here. Catch you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We were so happy to have you here.
And do not forget to jump onto iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and write a written review. That would mean the world to us. And we will catch you next time on the Creative Rise Podcast, where we believe you deserve to break the creative struggle, and it should be simple. Peace.